Age of Radio.
Jay, our favorite guy was in the news. Well, I mean, we're not doing news this week, but I just figured, you know, but before we started recording, we might as well talk about Ridley Scott's comments.
Oh, yes.
And of course, I got to put it in his voice. My voice for him. So Ridley Scott said, superhero movies are fucking boring as shite.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
Well, I mean, what do you expect?
He's got two movies out this year competing with superhero movies, you know?
So, sure.
So of course he's going to...
Well, he's kind of pulling that Scorsese in a way, right? When the Irishman came out.
Right, listen, back in the day, I was a fucking auteur. They came to me, they asked me to do Batman, and I said, why don't you go to that fucking crazy haired little twink, Tim Burton? He'll fucking do it for you.
Exactly, because Tim Burton was like the oddball out.
So listen up, all you little fanboys, you fanboy little fucks, you got me to thank for Tim Burton directing your precious Batman, and now you're getting Keaton back this year? You only have Keaton because of me. If I didn't turn down Batman, you never would have gotten him. You would have gotten my version of Batman, and it would have been Batman sitting alone in a mansion with Alfred. Occasionally, they might pull each other off. All right, let's get into this week's episode.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Super Movie Bros. I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Dave.
I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Jay.
And we and Jay got some smaller movies to talk about this week, both Netflix originals. So I have a review for the Netflix original movie, The Harder They Fall.
Are they that small, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Red Notice definitely
Red
isn't
Notice
small.
Is definitely not. That's
it's not. That was a huge budget.
At the time, yeah, a very big budget for Netflix, Red Notice. And I also got to the theaters and saw Belfast, the big awards player coming out.
But you know what The Harder They Fall has going for it? Star power. And I don't mean star power in the way that, you know, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson is in it or anything, or that Ryan Reynolds is in it. It's got star power because it's got John Majors and Idris Elba, which... And Lakeith Stanfield, for Christ's sakes.
Mm.
So it's got that actor clout, that type of star power behind it. So I'm excited to talk about that. Of course, we're also going to be breaking down all the Marvel news that came out from Disney Plus Day. We're a little late to the party on that, but that's okay. Yeah, because we're still going to discuss. I'm going to mainly focus that discussion on the two shows that they showed the most for that we haven't seen yet. We're going to focus on Moon Knight and She-Hulk. And then, of course, Jay, we have a trailer park. Got a trailer park breakdown for Spider-Man No Way Home Trailer 2, which just dropped. Me and Jay watched it together. Jay's got a different set of opinions than I have this time around. He's not as excited as he once was, but we'll break it down for you. But first, Jay, we got to get into... What are you watching?
What are you watching?
What are we watching?
He's trying to watch some illegal channel.
All right, Jay, why don't you kick us off with the first watching that you did? Start us off with Belfast. Let's just go with that one first. I feel like that's boring.
Well, let me first start off with something.
Get out of the way, please.
Okay.
Please.
All right, well, this is a high contender to be the best picture winner of the year.
Oh, my God. It's just because of the name recognition of Kenneth Branagh.
And I'll be honest, it's a delight. It's a perfectly well-made movie. It's a semi-autobiographical film based on his upbringing and his life. And it's all well and good. But the fact that this is a best picture contender, like a strong contender, like top three shit, that is not saying too well on our canvas of 2021 movies this past year, unfortunately. I'm a little surprised by that, but... you know, this is a really strong, strong outing. This was developed, made during COVID times, shot in black and white, mostly.
I don't want to. I don't want to ruin like your thunder or anything during your review here or anything. We're still in COVID times. Just letting you know.
No, I know. Did I say that?
You said shot during COVID times, implying that COVID times have ended. They're very
well.
Much,
I mean, since much, COVID started, you know,
they're very much still here. But continue.
And a lot of these guys are mainly no-named young actors stealing the show. Jude Hill plays Buddy, and I think it's kind of a version of Kenneth Branagh. And he was a fucking funny ass charming delight. One of the best things about this movie for me was the script. Killer writing, killer comedy, Judi Dench and Kieran Hines.
Whoa, don't just say Judi Dench as if she's some fucking commoner.
The dame Judi Dench.
She earned that fucking title.
She's
God
a
damn
dame.
It.
I love her.
She is a dame. Jesus. Get respect where respect is due. Pay it, motherfucker.
That is
God
true.
Damn.
But, you know, one of the things I have. Okay, so I first have to say, as much as I love this movie, and it's a delight, I do not recommend sitting up front. So it was actually a really packed, kind of a packed house on a Sunday afternoon.
This is IMAX too, right?
No, smaller, normal, little thing.
So why is sitting up front a problem?
Well, it's just, I'm not used to it. It's a little large, and it's a little overwhelming on top of the heavy dialect.
See,
the dialect is strong.
And the sound is.
Yeah. So you get the mixture of like the black and white, you see like a huge screen in your face, and then you're trying to comprehend this like heavy dialect that is, you know, the accent's strong and thick, and it's very original, and it takes a while for you to kind of get into it, and some of the jokes kind of like went right over my head.
Well, it's Scotland, right? I mean, Belfast, so it's Scotland.
And I just was not expecting that.
So they all talk like Ridley Scott.
Brothers and sisters are natural enemies, like Englishmen and Scots, or Welshmen and Scots, or Japanese and Scots, or Scots and other Scots. Damn Scots! They ruined Scotland!
My version of Ridley Scott. Version of Ridley Scott's Cockney, not Scottish.
I don't know.
You should watch a Grant Morrison interview, like the comic book writer. Watch a Grant Morrison interview. I mean, not right now. Don't pull up your phone like you're gonna watch.
No, I know.
But he's extremely hard to understand. Like he has that very thick. Like I mean, like I'm talking like Pornhub with the booty shorts that go all the way into the cheeks.
It's
that level of thick.
It's just that it's snappy and it is funny and very very witty. But like
because they're Scottish.
I gotta watch it again.
Have you seen the weather in Scotland? The only thing
but like,
is to be witty and funny. Everything is depressing.
It was just a very overwhelming at times, and there were some things kind of went over my head, unfortunately. So,
all right, fair enough.
Just a fair warning, but this is a absolute
no filter
must watch movie. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of charm.
No and, English filter, full brogue.
And yeah, so I'm gonna give this a solid A.
All right, man. So I mean, I've obviously seen trailers and stuff like that. I just knew this isn't the type of thing I'm gonna go to the theaters to see. It looks gorgeous because it's
sure is
Kenneth Branagh. So, but like, what's this story? Like, what like I know
it's
you
a coming of age tale, and it's also based upon just like this family during the times in Belfast during this this period in the history where there's like.
1960s?
Yeah, 1960s. There's some kind of like military issue going on within the country. I don't 100% know the politics of what's going on exactly.
Because you couldn't understand the focus.
So there's a lot of turmoil. A lot of people are either want to stay in Belfast or try and get out and start a new life. But during the times, it's very scary. It's a bold move. You know, no money. And a family. So it's a lot going on. He kind of has a school crush. You know, there's a lot of things packed in this.
Okay.
And
a lot going
it's
on.
Well executed. And it's a tight little film. And it works.
So before, I know you already gave your score, but Jamie Dornan's in this,
Jamie
right?
Dornan plays the father.
Yeah, right. Pa, it says it on the IMDb. Yep. Pa.
Solid.
Okay.
Solid as a rock.
Because I know most people, I know he had that.
You can't hate on him. I'm telling you right now, everybody was.
He had that popular movie that was on Netflix where it took place during World War One and stuff like that. And people were kind of blown away that he's as good as he was in it because so many people's.
The whole 50 Shades. He wasn't on anybody's radar until then.
I know.
That's the problem.
Right. Exactly. But.
And granted, he didn't do much before that either. He was mainly a model. But, you know, he's definitely has the chops, and he's gotten. I've seen that one British show
where he
with
plays
Jillian.
A serial killer.
Yeah, that's so good.
It's called The Fall.
The Fall. Thank you. I forgot all about
it's
that
good.
Title. It's really good. Highly recommend it, everybody.
Yeah.
That you know, if you need some credits or credentials for Jamie Dornan, watch that fucking
watch
series.
That. Yeah, that show was good.
Really good.
It was like it. I mean, it does what British shows always do. It takes the concept that we had over here, like Dexter, and it's just like, no, we got one way better.
Yeah, and they do it better.
He feels way more real.
It's a miniseries. Yeah.
And Gillian Anderson is more fascinating than Dexter's
sure.
Dexter's sister.
Actually, it's not a miniseries, is it? Is it a miniseries or is it like a 3-season arc thing? I can't remember. But
I think it was
either way.
It was
you can
three
binge
seasons.
It
they lasted yeah. from 2013 yeah. to 2016.
So. And it's like an open and shut 3 seasons.
And it's
like,
on it's Netflix on purpose. Too. So
I think it's still on there. Go check it out.
It's good shit.
And
good shit.
Check this out as well if you can.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely like that Amazon Prime like. Watch for me. I mean,
I'm not going to tell anybody to go see it in theaters. You don't have to. Yeah, don't have to. Honestly, you really don't.
We've got, but we've it got, is beautiful. Like, what, 3 months before like all the Oscar before the Oscar? Well, we got 2 months before the Oscar buzz really starts. But
yeah, unfortunately, this will not come out before the new year.
Oh, the cutoff
on DVD.
So the cutoff
I think.
But it'll still make the cut because it was released in 2020.
Oh, no, yes. I'm talking about on streaming or something. I don't know.
No,
I mean,
they always, right around the Oscar buzz time, they start releasing all the nominees for, and they all come to streaming and stuff like that. That's how they make their money.
Okay.
That's how they make their money on the back end.
I know. So. It's just that November's already, gosh, Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
It's jam-packed. Much like Jay's asshole when he tries to fit two dildos in it. All right. So, Jay, I got around to watching a movie on Netflix, as I previously discussed. It's called The Harder They Fall. So this is a very simple story, Jay. Jonathan Majors plays an outlaw, a rebel, black cowboy, as everyone in this movie is, and his biggest rival, his fucking nemesis, is getting released from prison. And his biggest nemesis is played by none other than Idris Elba. So he gets his old gang back together to seek revenge on Idris Elba. And listen to this cast. Other than Jonathan Majors and Idris Elba, Zazie Beetz, Edie Gathegi, Damon Wayans Jr., Regina King, Lakeith Stanfield, and none other than Delroy Lindo, who you may remember put in a fucking killer performance in just about everything that he's in, but most recently he did a killer performance in The Five Bloods. So
oh, yeah.
also on Netflix. So I mean, first off, the cast is top notch, and on top of that, it is directed by essentially a first-time director, Jamez Samuels. So, I mean, he's done a short film for Jay-Z Legacy, and then he did a horror film back in 2013 called They Die by Dawn. Now, it's only 51 minutes, so it's kind of like a short in and of itself. And it is, again, a Western starring an all black cast.
A black sheriff? He's black?
And it's essentially about that's about four outlaws that have a bounty on their heads, and they basically have a date for a shootout in Langston, Oklahoma. So obviously this is like the type of realm that he likes to play in. And I got to tell you, it works, man, because obviously like we haven't really seen. We've seen Westerns. I mean, me and you always talk about, like, it's almost like every few years there's like that big Western that comes out that Hollywood gets behind.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
No Country for Old Men. That's a Western. I don't care what you say. That is a fucking old school Western. Or
it is.
True Grit. Or 310 to Yuma.
Ooh, yeah.
Or like these movies that come around and everyone's like, man, that was really good. And it's a Western too. Man, you don't see Westerns anymore.
Well, somehow they make them good nowadays. Right.
And then Tarantino goes off and makes two of them himself, Django Unchained and The Hateful Eight. This is... I don't want to say it's as good as like Django or anything like that, because the script isn't as good. But damn, everyone in it is really fucking good, and the action is really fucking good. And I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. It is 100% worth your time. I really enjoyed this. A-. Like, I had a great time with it. The acting is top-notch. And I got to tell you, man.
Quite surprised by this.
I got to tell you, man. Like,
I have not heard much buzz about this movie at all.
I fucking loved it. Like, you remember how Django just had that fucking knockout soundtrack to it?
Yeah.
This does too. This does too. I fucking love it. So, I mean, this is going to be one of those movies that's like, you know, I mean, it's on Netflix, so it's not like ever going to play. But like, this is that type of movie that like, if I was flipping through the channels and it was on and I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to put this on because I like it. You know, I do that all the time. Like every now and then I'll just like go onto a streaming service and they'll be like, hey, Django Unchained is on here. I was like, I'll watch it. I now put this in like that same type of category. I might be singing its praises a little bit too much, but it's kind of like my rebelling against seeing Red Notice this week. I really had no interest in seeing it. I had every intention and plan on seeing Red Notice. But I went and like Went on the Netflix, went to go
I'm
turn it on.
I'm not blaming you. Look.
I went to go turn it on, and I saw this instead, and my wife had watched it, and she really liked it. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with something else. I'm just not going to do the Red Notice thing. But Jay, you did get down with Red Notice.
I did.
Help me catch her, and I will help you.
Teamwork.
Hello, boys. How's it going with your partner in crime?
We're work wives.
We're not work wives.
We're sister wives.
We're not any kind of wives.
We both know that this whole thing is going to end with you in handcuffs.
Promises. Promises.
Now that we did the obligatory sound clip for Red Notice, take it away, man. What is Red Notice all about?
Ryan
Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds.
Well, all three of them play essentially versions of themselves, except I guess you can say The Rock. Dwayne Johnson plays it very, very straight.
I don't think Gal Gadot has been typecast yet. I wouldn't say that she has been.
She's just playing a smart, sexy thief, and you know they essentially are all doing that, you know, in a way. And but Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson's playing an Interpol agent, actually a U.S. agent. I'm sorry, and then Interpol is trying to
right, he's
track
working,
down,
he's
and working they're working together and trying to track down these thieves. They're supposed to be one and two top thieves in the fucking world.
Okay,
trying to find all three of Cleopatra's eggs.
Okay, this is sounding a whole lot like
eggs,
like Army of Thieves. Like Army of Thieves.
Sort of. And it's a globetrotting adventure trying to steal an egg from different locations.
I mean, people know the value of eggs. Not only are they delicious during breakfast, but we all know about Fabergé eggs. And like,
they're fancy-looking eggs.
They're fancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're fancy.
Jewel-encrusted.
They look pretty.
We saw Tom Cruise like leap into the air and try to like catch one in Risky Business before it shattered, I think. I think it was an egg. I don't know.
Look, I love the premise. It's a fun idea for a movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's the execution, Dave. The dialogue.
Okay.
The delivery. The acting is atrocious.
So when you say execution, you mean are you choosing the guillotine or being hung after watching this? Puns, I got them.
It's bad, man. Play. It's really bad. And it's just the sleepy, flat dialogue performances from almost every single player. I think Gal Gadot was probably the strongest out of the three for me. Dwayne was the worst, I think, because he was not good at all. I mean, line delivery, action, it was terrible. I mean, all the action fight scenes were completely terrible. They were horribly shot.
I'm just in my head, like, feeling like the director's like, hey, Dwayne, you want to bring your performance today? And he goes, shut up and just pay me. And they go, fine, here's your money. And he goes, you're welcome.
It was one of the most uninspired executed films I've ever seen. And this is the guy behind Skyscraper, you know, another previous Dwayne Johnson action blockbuster.
Fuck yeah. Who doesn't remember the Die Hard ripoff, but instead of losing his shoes and having to walk on broken glass and bare feet. No, Jay, he doesn't have a leg.
Oh, I thought it was an arm.
No,
leg,
he doesn't
whatever.
Have a leg. And then his leg falls off and he has to make that like big jump with just one leg that no normal human could ever do with two legs, let alone he does it with one because he is the handicapable Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, so Rawson Marshall Thurber is the guy behind this movie, writing and directing.
And that's not to say I hated Skyscraper all that much. I kind of dug Skyscraper a little bit for that cheesy action that it was. But it was less like a Die Hard and more like a Die Hard 5. What was that one called? Die Hardest?
I don't know.
The harder they die. I don't remember what the fifth.
But he's the only writer and only director of this movie. And this completely fell on his lap. He fucked it up. He poorly directed these guys. He poorly wrote a script that wasn't really funny and delivered a punch, and he did not execute these action scenes well at all.
Maybe the script was just bad from the get-go, and then The Rock and Ryan Reynolds read it, and they were just like, whatever. how much money are you going to pay me? And they're like, $250 million. And they're like, I'll do whatever you say. I don't care.
Yeah.
Marketing
placement for all their liquor and everything. Yeah. They got aviation in there. You got Terramana in there. You know, you got it all.
What's Gal Gadot's liquor? Does she get a liquor?
She's going to have to find something soon.
Yeah. I mean, what is an Israeli liquor? Is it Manny Shevitz wine? Because she's Jewish? Sorry, that's messed up. But every Christmas, Manny Shevitz, come on now.
I would sell like gangbusters.
Yeah,
Hanukkah. Especially nowadays.
Could you imagine if Gal Gadot, you know, is Israel's sweetheart was...
She probably has a bunch of shit in the country.
If Manny Shevitz put it on the wine bottle, endorsed by Gal Gadot.
That's all we needed. A Jewish princess. Funny, she doesn't look Jewish.
Manny Shevitz is like one of the cheapest and world's most awful wines, but it's just tradition to drink it during Hanukkah time, like during the holidays.
Because they like to suffer.
Jesus Christ.
It's part of the, you know. It's
fucking dark, man.
Wow. They do like to suffer. I mean, a lot of their holidays are based around a little bit of suffering.
Because the Jewish people have had it hard, man.
That's my point. Thank you, Dave.
So you're saying they like to struggle with their alcohol, too?
Well,
Gal Gadot is going to take fucking umbrage with what you've just said.
All right, bring it on. Sorry. They can't all be Coppola wines.
You don't care as long as she's touching. Yeah. Like, she could be beating the shit out of you, or you're just like, I just love you so much.
I do. She's got that gorgeous voice. Oh,
she does. Yeah, absolutely.
His eyes.
But anyway, this movie, not gorgeous. Terrible. How's the action? It's an action movie. Come on.
It's terrible action, Dave. I'm telling you right now, this is like all around horribly executed. I don't see where this money is going. Maybe for the locations and the wardrobes and the fucking cars and stuff like that, perhaps. But
I think it's the three paychecks of the main actors.
And
but
the three, and the three paychecks. Sure, because... This was terrible.
Okay.
This is a D for me. A solid D.
A D. All right. The thing that you would like to give Gal Gadot.
Mm.
Your D. But she would not let you touch her with a 10-foot pole unless she was beating you with it.
I might allow that.
All right. I understand it's bad. I might have to cut all that Manny Shevitz stuff out. It's mildly anti-Semitic. Jay, it's anti-Semitic.
You know I'm terrible with this
stuff. It's anti-Semitic. I can tell you that right now. It goes in the outtakes. Unless.
Patreon.
I check out. Unless I check out while editing and I completely just glance over it, which has happened several times. I've gone back and listened to episodes and I was just like, why didn't I cut that out? And it's like, oh yeah, I just completely spaced while editing.
You're just so used to our... crazy talk.
No, I've been on not autopilot, because obviously I'm still putting in like sound clips and stuff like that here and there, but like I am just...
Ooh, Ryan Gosling got moved around.
I'm in the middle of like, just, that has nothing to do with what we're talking
That's
about.
That's part
now.
Of the fun of the show. Improv.
That's not improv. That is literally observational and not even comedy. It's just you literally recognize.
But it's an inside joke for our listeners, because everybody knows I'm the Gosling guy.
I moved your Ryan Gosling doll. I did.
You did.
Jay! I have to end where we were going because we got to...
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Disney Plus Day. Look, there was a slew of stuff that came out about what they have coming to Disney Plus, including like Lightyear, Chris Evans playing Lightyear and all that stuff. And you know, I could break down all the Disney stuff, but I'm not going to. I could break down all the Star Wars stuff, except they didn't really have any. So the only thing we learned is that we did a news story last week. Rogue Squadron is no longer on the production schedule for Lucasfilm. And that's about it. They didn't really get into Lucasfilm too much during the Disney Plus Day. But what we got a metric fuck ton of information on was Marvel, MCU. What is coming? So let's break down what we got coming to the MCU on Disney Plus in the next couple of years. Okay, I want to kick things off really quick with Hawkeye. So we know Hawkeye is the next series. It's going to be starting at the end of November, but we got an extended like preview of it. And we kind of get to see some more interaction between the two Hawkeyes. And you know, we kind of get a mention from Haley Steinfeld, that, you know, her mother has cut her credit card off. Her mother's going to be played by Vera Farmiga, and it seems like she's part of some sort of a criminal empire and stuff like that. But the really cool part is where she's like explaining why she's Hawkeye, right? Like, first she was wearing the Ronin outfit that Clint Barton started out in Endgame because I don't know. Some people are saying it's a rumor that she kind of like finds it in the trash in New York or something like that, or she makes her own, but she's trying to pay homage to the hero of Ronin and stuff like that. But she essentially, she wants to be like Hawkeye. Hawkeye is her is her Avenger, right? Like
idol, yeah.
Everyone has a favorite Avenger, but she also had the skills as an archer to be Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rich kid, she did archery and stuff like that, pretty good at it, trained herself, becomes Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But the extended scene, Jay, is essentially this show's hallway scene. Remember back in Netflix? Back in the good old days, back when Charlie Cox was wearing Daredevil outfits, back when John Bernthal was the Punisher,
simpler times,
and he's just fighting dudes in the middle of a jailhouse hallway.
I can't wait to rewatch that.
This has somewhat of a hallway scene, and what I'm getting at is the extended view that we got. It's they both go into a car, and first she's like, "Wow, look at this car! Why don't we take this?" And Clint Barton says to her, "Are you kidding? I'm not gonna smash up a 1976 Challenger. Get in!" And he's getting in this old like hoopty. So they get into this old ass car. They're getting chased by the tracksuit mafia, the bros, bro. Read the Matt Fraction Hawkeye series. I can't stress that enough. That's the basis for what this entire series is going to be. And they're driving, and the cool part is like the camera is panning around them on the interior of the vehicle as Clint Barton's driving and Haley Steinfeld's Kate Bishop is firing the arrows and stuff. But it's looks like it's one take, but the camera is moving around the interior cabin of the car and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It looked fantastic. The action looked great, and I couldn't wait for it.
Like, yeah, I'm trying not to watch anything else with that series. That's good. I'm going to watch the show. I think it's well casted, so I think I'm really just excited to see what she does. I haven't seen her do anything in quite some time. I feel like I haven't seen her since Edge of 17. I mean, that was like 4 years ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing a little Haley.
No, she was in Dickinson on Apple Plus.
I never saw it. Yeah.
No, I didn't watch it either. But I know it's
she's working.
I mean, popular,
yeah, she's still working. I'm just not watching her shit.
and then we get an extended view of She-Hulk. I say extended, but it's not crazily extended. But what they do get into is, first off, we do see Mark Ruffalo in this snippet that they show, and he has a healed arm.
They had to.
He has a healed arm. So, but what's interesting is in Shang-Chi, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't seen Shang-Chi, but I feel like the statute of limitations is up on that. It's legal now. in Shang-Chi, we got Mark Ruffalo in there as Mark Ruffalo, not as the Hulk, arm still in a sling. Here in She-Hulk, he looks like Hulk, arm not in a sling. So we know that he is going to be part of it. But one of the cool things we got is we got Jessica Waters, who is, you know, She-Hulk. She is the cousin of Bruce Banner. And she's talking to the camera. She's breaking the fourth wall, which long before Deadpool ever broke the fourth wall in the comic books, she was. This character was breaking the fourth wall, which I find interesting. So, I said Jessica Walters. It's Jennifer Walters. I'm sorry. But one of the cool things is at the end of this little snippet that we're getting, it shows the actress who's playing Jennifer Walters, Tatiana Maslany, and Mark Ruffalo in 70s clothes with the same aspect ratio that a 70s television set would be in. And they're both dressed exactly like they were in the original Hulk television series. So it's definitely going to be a lot more fun, you know, than your normal action beat 'em up. I'm probably picturing this to be more like a Loki type series.
Okay.
In tone with that comedy, yeah, with that comedy, yeah, element added in.
Dry, smart, yeah, witty kind of comedy. Yeah.
And of course also in Shang-Chi we got Blumsky back where he was fighting Wong and stuff in the arena. He is apparently going to be making a return here as well, but we didn't really get to see anything from him. And then one of the other things we got an extended view for, this one's going to be very brief because this was very brief, is Ms. Marvel. It you know, Kamala Khan, she is Miss Marvel. In the comic book, she's an Inhuman, and she gets her powers from the Terrigen Mist and stuff like that, as Inhumans do. But Inhumans failed the TV show. It was supposed to be a movie, then they made it into a TV show. Both things were a failure. So I think they're taking that away from her because her power set has changed. No longer can she kind of like grow big or stretch her arms or make her fist really big and stuff like that. It seems like it's almost like a Green Lantern type power now. So that's really all we saw there. But Jay, the big thing and the thing I want you to focus on, because I think this is the thing that's going to come to Disney Plus for the MCU that's going to have you sold. Because I know you enjoyed some of the stuff, but you weren't really in love with anything yet, MCU wise on Disney Plus.
Yeah, safe to say.
Oscar Isaac playing Mark Spector as Moon Knight, a superhero with dissociative identity disorder. Multiple versions of this character exist within his head, so he has different personalities. You're going to see
him
playing.
Very excited by this. Also opposite Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, who's playing the villain.
Obviously, well. Also very excited about this. Now, what I'm a little disappointed by is the fucking stills of the movie is terrible.
So
absolutely terrible.
But did you see the scene where it's just kind of like a back shot of him? We don't see a clear view of
in the
of
mirror.
Moon Knight. No, it's behind. It's like coming through an apartment door, and you just see the big white cape, and you just see him punching presumably someone who's on the ground, and just like we talked about in the Batman in the Batman trailer,
right.
That sickening thud of just wet paste, he's just beating the shit out of somebody. Now that is the Moon Knight character inside of his head. That's the Moon Knight personality who believes that they are the incarnation of the Egyptian god Khonshu. And Mark Spector in the comic books was a mercenary who comes across some tomb where he winds up getting imbued with the spirit and the powers of Khonshu, which makes him Moon Knight and stuff like that. But in this, I think they're going to keep it a little bit more grounded. So we see the violence of the character, but there's a scene in the train where he's kind of looking at his reflection in the mirror, and we see the white gloves and what looks like, you know, a white suit that he's wearing. That's also Mark Spector, the detective. Now, he dresses with a mask, just like a white mask with a little moon crest on him. He wears a giant white stovepipe hat and a white suit and carries a cane and just shows up at New York City police, like, investigation crime scenes, and just Sherlock Holmes the shit out of it.
Right, right.
That's another aspect of the character. So you're going to see Oscar Isaac essentially doing acting gymnastics.
He's got a lot going on, and I think I'm very, very excited for this. I mean, this is more my, it's more on my alley, too. It's a little bit more intriguing. It's a little bit more indie.
All right, this is the blitz now. Some other shows that they announced: Echo. So in the comic books, after Clint Barton gave up being Ronin, that suit passed to another superhero named Echo, who will be played by Alakwa Cox, and she will be playing Maya Lopez Echo, who in the comic books is a deaf superhero. So you talked about last week that it's very nice to be seeing the inclusion of deaf characters.
It's interesting
characters.
That you're seeing get a lot more of that lately. It's interesting. Yeah. It's great.
So and then we got teases for Ironheart, which is these are just logos, but that'll be Dominique Thorne, who will play Riri Williams. She is someone who admires Tony Stark, and she goes on to create the most advanced suit of armor since Tony Stark's Iron Man. Then they announced that they are going to be doing Agatha, House of Harkness. This will be a direct spin-off series to WandaVision, and it will obviously be following Catherine Hahn's Agatha Harkness. There's really no word yet what it's going to be, but obviously they're going to have to touch on the fact that she was kind of left there, cursed to you know, never remember who she was or anything like that. She's obviously going to break that curse here. They reminded us that Secret Invasion is coming. That will be Ben Mendelsohn and Samuel Jackson reprising their roles. Obviously, Samuel Jackson will be playing Nick Fury, and Ben Mendelsohn will be playing the Skrull Talos, but this will follow the storyline of Secret Invasion, where Skrulls secretly took over most of the Earth's superheroes and stuff like that without anybody knowing. It happened under Nick Fury's nose. crazy. I'm sure this won't be a direct comic rip, because it seems like in the MCU, for the most part, Skrulls are good guys, and Kree are bad guys, kind of like opposite in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
We get confirmation that What If Season 2 is going to be coming. There's going to be a short series, like mini shorts, for I Am Groot, which is going to follow Baby Groot. Marvel Zombies. We got Marvel Zombies in What If this year. Well, Marvel Zombies will be getting its own series. I believe this is going to be an animated series, but if you read Marvel Zombies or you watched the What If, think of that just the same. But the two shows that I'm most excited for that they didn't really show a lot for are Spider-Man Freshman Year. This is an animated series that is going to follow the current Peter Parker that we know, Tom Holland, in animated form, but it's going to be his freshman year. When we first met him in Civil War, he was a sophomore. So we are going to be getting stories from Peter Parker before he was Spider-Man, but also the origin of this character, who we completely skipped because we know it, but...
And he's going to be voicing this?
I don't know if he's going to be voicing it. But we do know, like we know how important Uncle Ben is to the entire Spider-Man story. Jay, we're going to get Uncle Ben here. And we haven't had Uncle Ben in the MCU yet.
That's really good.
So yeah,
well deserved, well needed. Yeah, we're gonna learn in it more.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of just like see that origin, and it's nice that like it's not happening in a movie or anything like that. No flashback or anything. It's just kind of like this thing. If you want to watch it, you can. If you don't, you don't. But you know, I want to know a little bit more about this character because we just kind of picked up with him in Civil War, where he's just already a friendly neighborhood spider guy. So, and then finally, Jay, this is just for me, for fanboys, everybody to get really fucking geeked out about. X-Men: The Animated Series, the 1997. Series is returning. Back in the day, Jay, when I used to come home from school and I used to watch cartoons and stuff, a lot of people my age, they watched the Power Rangers. That was not for me. I watched Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Spider-Man the Animated Series. They would run those on Saturday mornings, and they'd also run reruns and stuff like that after school. By far, out of all of them, my favorite next to Batman the Animated Series was X-Men, the Animated Series from the 90s. The entire voice cast that are still alive are returning for it, and they're going to pick up exactly where they left off. 5 seasons of this show, and it just ended, right? Toy sales weren't going up. Marvel Comics was in dire straits at the time, ready to file for bankruptcy, and they needed this show to kind of like boost those numbers. And when the ratings started to dwindle, they just canceled it. So it's coming back on Disney Plus. And Jay, hand-drawn animation. They're not going to switch it up. They're not going to make it CGI. They're going to do this in the same exact animation style.
Well, goddamn.
That they did back in 1997. This isn't for your kids. They're not doing this for anything else other than
for us.
Than 30-something fanboys who loved this series and want to see it happen.
And we thank you.
I got to think that it only happened for the simple fact that they put that series on Disney Plus and people have been rewatching it. And they see those streaming numbers and they go, there's something here. There's a reason
right,
for this.
Right. There's a reason. I don't think it's just the kids rewatching this. And it could be, because guess what? A lot of the 90s quality things are coming back. Like, it's hip now to like start using like Polaroids again and like grainy video that has an aesthetic look like the videotapes of the 90s.
I really hope they keep the same aspect ratio. Like, no widescreen. Just like,
that's what I'm saying.
I hope they keep it.
Like, they're... Like, that's becoming like a new thing right now. Very, very, very hip right now. I've noticed. So it's, yeah, I mean, fuck, why not?
And the best part about this is picking up with the series where they left off, there are now 30 years of X-Men comics that they can fill in with brand new storylines and new characters that they can add in. So like, if you're an X-Men fan, like, this is where it's at. And what I'm really liking about this is when Disney Plus launched, this is what they said it was going to be. And it was such a shaky launch, right? I mean, there was practically nothing on there. There was your Disney movies. There's a handful of Star Wars movies. There was some of the MCU, not all of it. But now here we are 3 years after its launch. And everything that was promised to us in the Marvel realm, in the Star Wars realm, for Disney Files, it's all coming there. It's all coming out.
Yeah.
It's all coming. And it's and the stuff that you would think it's not going to do well as a movie, but there's plenty of people that still want to see it. Boom. It goes here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfect place for it. So very much excited for what they have going on. You know, there's things obviously I'm more excited for than others. And some of it, we'll have to see how it shakes out. We have to see how the rest of Phase 4 for Marvel shakes out. But what I'm seeing here, I'm excited for. Most excited for Hawkeye, Moon Knight, She-Hulk,
sure,
X-Men 97. And everything else, it's just like, that's cool. I need to see.
No, we got a great slate coming up next year.
Those new characters like Miss Marvel, Ironheart, you know, stuff like that. I need to see how they are going to fit into the rest of the Marvel universe. I need to see like what state the Marvel universe is in when they're being introduced and stuff like that. But I'm still really looking forward to this stuff. And I can't wait for Moon Knight because the footage that we saw is very reminiscent of the Dark Netflix series that we
saw. Footage?
Yeah, there's footage from it.
Ooh, I did not see that.
Yeah, there's footage from it. And it's very reminiscent of that Dark Daredevil, that Dark Punisher look that we had on Netflix. And I like to see it somewhat emulated here because this is a character. Even back when we talked about
It's warranted.
I said that they're all Marvel Knights. Moon Knight is a Marvel Knight that they've always been part of, like, kind of a street level superheroes that deserve darker stories because they're more realistic, they're more grounded, and it seems like that's exactly what they're going for here. I hope honestly it doesn't hint at too much of a larger Marvel
universe. And again, that's kind of what you want from this platform. You want a little bit more variety.
And can I be honest with you? What I really hope is my pie in the sky dream for this, Jay, is that this is a backdoor into bringing Charlie Cox, John Bernthal, and some of our Netflix people back in, finding out that since we now know that there
see all those male candy eye guys and their butt cheeks on screen, I'm going to be so excited.
But let's not forget Jessica Jones either, because
her butt cheeks too, absolutely.
I thought Ritter was absolutely fantastic in that role.
Yeah.
But I would love because we now have multiple universes, what if Moon Knight is the back door, no pun intended, into all those beautiful butt cheeks from Netflix returning? Charlie Cox, John Bernthal.
I would love to.
Kristen Ritter. Come on.
I wish they had the foresight to do that. I just don't know if I trust it.
It'd be great if they did.
It would be really great.
Yeah.
Really great.
That's my pie in the sky dream. That's not like a rumor. That's nothing I've heard or anything like that. That is just my pie in the sky dream, is that Moon Knight doesn't take place in the current Marvel universe that's going on in the theaters and in some of the other Disney Plus shows. It is the back door into bringing the Netflix shows back over into our universe.
Bring it from the back. Bring it
Love
back.
That. Love it. All right, Jay, we're coming to the end here. We got to do a breakdown for Spider-Man No Way Home Trailer 2. And trust me, Jay, for you, this will be shorter.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Star Wars image.
It's just an image. It's just them fighting.
It's
fighting.
It's story art. It's not a real image.
But also, it'd be completely stupid to expect that you would not see those two fighting if they're announced for it. But anyway.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting such an epic look. It was pretty awesome.
Let's get into this week's Trailer Park and break down the Spider-Man No Way Home Trailer 2. And just for Jay, I think I'll make this a little bit shorter than I did for the last one, because while there's a lot to look at and see, there's not a whole lot new to gleam, really.
Tomasin Nucci, drop that beat.
The beat and let the music play. No Trailer Park, shout out to Dave and Jay. I don't surf, but there's a newer wave. We've been on since Twist, God save the right stop. I don't wanna flow until I know that the bass drop.
Alright, so leaving the rumors and stuff like that off to the side, I'm not going to get into the leaked set photos and stuff like that. I did that a little bit last week, and I put up a spoiler warning and warned everybody when it was coming. But we're not going to do that this time. I'm not going to get into that stuff. I'm just going to be talking about what we see in this trailer and what we don't see in this trailer. So with that little disclaimer out of the way, let's get into it.
When you botched that spell where you wanted everyone to forget the Peter Parker Spider-Man. we started getting some visitors. From every universe.
Sorry, what was your name again?
Dr. Otto Octavius.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
There are others out there. We need to send them back. So,
Scooby-Doo this crap.
You know, all this is kind of your mess. I know a couple of magic words myself, starting with the word please.
Please, Scooby-Doo this crap.
Peter. You're struggling to have everything you want while the world tries to make you choose.
This is all my fault. I can't save everyone.
So, one of the things I find interesting about this trailer is the choice of words used by Doctor Strange in the beginning is that they're all coming through into our universe because of that botched spell. Because you botched the spell. He tells Peter that you botched the spell. And it's like, I'm sorry. Was it Peter who was doing all the magical glowy shit and saying the incantations and all that stuff?
He was distracting him.
Or was it you? Doctor Strange. But what I like is there's still that ego of Doctor Strange, that ego that we saw when he was a surgeon.
I know, and I can already see I'm going to be on Doctor Strange's side this whole movie.
Because you're an adult. Because you're fucking an adult.
I guess.
That's why. But are you on his side when he says stupid things like, let's Scooby-Doo this crap?
No. On that part, no.
Yeah, I was not. That dialogue, it's a little ham-fisted. I'm not going to lie. But it is somewhat reminiscent of, you know, when he's like, hi, I'm Peter Parker. And he's like, Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up names. I'm Spider-Man. It's kind of reminiscent of like that Infinity War type banter that they had.
That worked, though. Well, that was charming.
Because it was the Russos.
Yeah, I know. It's
and it's in small doses. You hope that this is like a one-off, right?
And, but my thing about this was...
It is slap-face dialogue. It's just terrible.
This is a completely different trailer. This whole trailer is brand new footage. It's unbelievable. I could not believe they showed and gave away so much of the story.
It is confirming everything that we said was going to happen when we broke down the trailer originally.
Mostly, yeah.
This confirms that it's a botched spell. We knew that. We kind of knew that.
Right.
It kind of confirms.
I don't know. I guess I just didn't want to see all that at all because I think it just spoiled. I know you said it's not a spoiler, but it kind of is.
It's not.
To me, it is, because all the previous trailers gave you just the right amount, because I loved them, and they were great, just the right amount to get it hyped up and excited for this movie. This trailer showed the whole fucking movie, almost, in a lot of ways, and you know, and everybody, and I was hoping to wait and see all that for the movie itself, not for a trailer that comes out, well, the movie comes out in a month, but I don't know, it was just too much shown. A couple forced dialogue quips that didn't quite work, you know, for me, but hopefully they do in the movie.
Yeah, I have faith in it. I mean, obviously we've liked the previous two.
I guess I'm just shocked and surprised, and I'm surprised by my reaction too, to be honest, but it's just the way it is.
But give them credit for keeping some stuff still close to the vest, right? The rumors are rampant and everything that there are. Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield. What's funny is I just watched the Today Show, and Andrew Garfield was doing an interview.
Tick, tick, boom. He's promoting right now. It's his big awards player.
Right. With Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, behind it and stuff like that. It's about the creator of Rent.
Correct.
And I'll give the Today Show credit. They asked him questions about Rent, and they spent 8 minutes talking about Tick, Tick, Boom and that movie, which is a Netflix original, but also has huge buzz behind it. And including possible Oscar buzz for Actor nomination and for Andrew Garfield.
A lot of good stuff coming out from that movie.
But they waited until the very end. They gave him like 30 seconds and they asked him, you know, how it was on the set of Spider-Man and stuff like that. And he goes, I'm not in that movie. He gets it. I'm not in that movie. No one's asked me to be in that movie. I didn't hear from my agent about that movie. I know nothing about this movie and stuff like that. But just like you guys all, I'm very excited to see it. I love Tom Holland in the role. I think they've done a fantastic job with the character, and he left it at that. Yeah. And so we don't see Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield in this. I mean, they're not here because they were cut out, obviously. I mean, Marvel's done that before. But I mean, we've all probably seen the footage now of the Phantom kick or the the lizard kick seen round the world. But I don't want to get into that too much because, again, like that's leaks and stuff. So I'm just trying to stick with what's in this trailer.
He could be lying, but I don't think he is.
To be a surprise. And I know if you're the type of person that's following leaks and stuff like that, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about set photos. I'm not talking about
They could be doing that on purpose, too. They might have been paid to show up to fuck us up.
Marvel has done that in the past, right? I mean,
for sure.
Famously, Infinity War, we saw Hulk running into battle on Wakanda.
It's great buzz.
It is.
It's fantastic. It is. Buzz.
Although theory, I do think that in the scene where MJ is falling off and falling through the sky and Tom Holland's Peter tries to jump through and reach her, I think he misses Jay. I think another Spider-Man saves her. And it has to be Andrew Garfield because he failed to save Gwen in his universe. It redeems him by him saving MJ here in this one.
Oh boy, you're reaching now.
I don't know how this
don't know how this universe operates yet. So
that's true. Well, I mean, it's any universe is open. I mean, Doctor Strange pretty much said they're coming in from.
It's just so weird.
All the other universes, all of them. So,
but I just hope it's just not too bonkers to follow.
I also think that a lot of the stuff we're seeing, Peter is in the Iron Spider suit.
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me that is the beginning of the movie.
Hmm.
Because we only see a few things with him in that black suit. And that black suit is imbued with runes and stuff from Doctor Strange that allows him to travel through the universes. Because Peter's goal in this, if you hear him say it, he's trying to get these villains back to where they belong. He's not trying to kill them. They're trying to kill him because that's the line that they're chasing ghosts of their past, which is Spider-Man, obviously. And Doctor Strange says it is all of their fates to die fighting Spider-Man. Peter's trying to prevent that. He's trying to be a hero. He's trying to save these villains that are out of time. All of them are out of place. And we hear Willem Dafoe's voice very clearly. In this, you know, he has a line that he's just, you know, Peter's trying to just hold it all together and stuff like that. And it's nice. I love Willem Dafoe as that character. I love when he gets deep into that voice, that cackle that he has.
It's great cackle.
So I love that. And we get that scene where it looks like a construction site. We get Sandman's giant head coming in, Thomas Hayden Church back as that. We get to see the lizard, Ralph Ifans coming back for that. We see Jamie Foxx as Max Dillon, Electro, looking very, and we do get a pretty clear image of him here, very different than the Maxwell Dillon that we got in The Amazing Spider-Man. That nerdy blue weirdo is gone. He looks more like the comic book version. When he powers up his lightning, it does the lightning bolts on his head and out of the side of his cheeks, much like the costume would look for the comic book counterpart. And then we also obviously see pumpkin bombs and stuff like that, and Otto Octavius. That, Jay, is five villains. Spider-Man has to fight six. Because it's the Sinister Six. So, fan cast. Would you prefer that sixth villain, if they are doing a Sinister Six, would you prefer that sixth be Mysterio returned, or would you prefer it be Venom, who's against them and then turns for him, let's say?
It's hard to say. It's so hard to say because it would make so much sense for Mysterio because it's the follow-up of the previous movie.
Would you prefer that it's Topher Grace's Venom?
Oh, God. Get old Topher. God bless you. Bless your heart, Topher. I'm going to say I would rather go with the Venom.
Would you? I would rather go with Mysterio.
I think Mysterio, Mysterio is too much. Like, he's like a standalone. Like, you know, he's not like a side guy because he can do like all kinds of crazy shit.
You can't believe anything you saw from him. That's my point. Including his death.
Well, that's my point.
I don't think it's finite enough. I think adding him to
like five other people is just too much going
on. It's called the Sinister Six. It's not called the Sinister Five because it was too much to have six this time around.
No, too much for him to be included. Mysterio. That's why I want Venom. It's more concrete. We know where we're getting with Venom.
I'd laugh my ass off if it just turned out that everything that happened after the bridge in Spider-Man Far From Home is that he has Peter locked in some room with all the imaging, and Peter thinks this is all going on, but none of this has happened at all. And it ends, it was all a dream. God, fanboys would just walk out. They would burn the theater down walking out.
Oh, God.
So we get confirmation of these people. One of the things I thought was really cool was the fight in that construction site was very reminiscent. You won't know this, Jay, because you don't play video games, of the PS4 of the PS4 Spider-Man video game, where Peter does take on members of the Sinister Six at a construction site, and he's fighting, I believe it's Sandman and Maxwell Dillon, the Electro. So I liked that. So there's things about this that I liked, and I'm still very much looking forward to it. I know that the dialogue is just cringy for you at times. One thing I didn't bring up, but I kind of wanted to mention was, did you notice that, like, when he's talking, like, when Otto Octavius is introducing himself and he says, you know, what's your name again? Otto Octavius. And they laugh at him and stuff like that. Like, part of me thinks that, like, that's them trying to help him. Like, these villains may not be villains the entire movie. And
oh, no. He's not going to be. No, they're going to make up.
Because if you remember,
he's going to realize you're not Peter Parker, and then he's going to
Spider-Man just 2.
Talk with him.
He has that moment, Peter Parker.
And they're going to try and figure things out together.
He has that moment, Peter Parker. Brilliant but lazy. You know what I mean? Like, he almost, like, gives up the gambit at the end. And he saves New York. New York's about to blow up from precious tritium. And he saves New York and dies trying. So you know, I think that's going to be I think Otto Octavius is going to be an ally.
I agree. I 100% agree.
And of course I think we're seeing, like, the first half of the movie here. I really do. I don't think we're seeing as much as you think. What they're giving away, Jay, is the story. They are giving away the synopsis of this movie. Peter Parker goes to Doctor Strange to hide his identity after it's been outed by Mysterio, and he's being hunted by New York City and, of course, J. Jonah Jameson. So, before I continue with this thought, you know how there's that Spider-Man meme? Where, like, Spider-Man's pointing at Spider-Man, and they did it at the end of Into the Spider-Verse. You know what I mean? Where, like, just the two Spider-Men are pointing at each other. You remember? You know that meme?
Yeah.
What if bald J. Jonah Jameson runs into flat top J. Jonah Jameson from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man universe? I hate Spider-Man! I hate Spider-Man! Miss Brandt, get me a violin! And they just have a yell off.
Can you imagine?
J.K. Simmons yelling at himself.
That'd be great after
as a younger
scene.
Version of J.K. Simmons yelling at himself. And they're just pointing at each other. He's like, menace, 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 menace.
Oh, my God.
I
want it.
I want that. I want J.K. Simmons. It. But anyway, so he goes to Doctor Strange to hide his identity. The spell gets botched, opening up another universe where villains come in. Villains from other Spider-Man universes come in. Jay, that's it. That's all you saw in this trailer. That is literally, like, the one sentence IMDb synopsis of the movie. You think they're giving away the fucking, you know, the whole cart and donkey, but that makes no sense. You think they're giving away the baby and the bathwater all at the same time, but you know, I don't think they're giving away as much as you think.
I hope so.
One thing I find interesting is, so we see him in the Iron Spider outfit. We see him in the Far From Home end movie outfit that he had, where it's more black and red and stuff like that with the white spider on the back. And we see him in that black suit. So obviously we know that he's going to come to blows with Doctor Strange in this, and I think that's something that's going to happen towards the beginning of the second act.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this movie we're going to start with the Iron Spider outfit because he's fighting Otto Octavius. He's then going to switch to the black outfit after that one probably gets destroyed, or maybe not destroyed. We've noticed that Doc Ock has like silver arms when he first arrives there on the bridge, and then later on we see he very clearly has like red in those forearms, and we have that scene in the trailer where he's like looking at his arm as it's like moving, shifting, and changing. I think what's happening there is maybe instead of destroying the Iron Spider suit, his arms actually absorb the nanotechnology, the Stark nanotechnology, into it. And I think that's gonna kind of like happen to all of these villains. I think all of these villains are kind of like changing because the longer they are in this universe, the more they are integrated into this universe. And I think that's like why later on when we see the goblin glider zooming in and we don't see a mask on him, I think that's still Willem Dafoe. I know a lot of people are like, that's Harry Osborn from The Amazing Spider-Man, or it's Ned as Hobgoblin. It's like, no, they haven't set up that enough for Ned to be Hobgoblin. So it probably is Norman Osborn. I did freeze frame it. It does look like it's Willem Dafoe, but he's changing. He's different. He's assimilating into this. And the longer that they are there, the more they will assimilate into this universe. And that's why it's such a dire need to get them back to their other universes. That's just probably like where I think this is going. And then we see Doctor Strange knocking essentially his spirit out of his body, causing him to astral project.
Right.
And I think after him and Doctor Strange have a briefed 5 to 10 minute tiff where they fight each other, he offers to help Peter put it all back together, giving him the black magic suit. That's just kind of what I'm seeing. But I'm kind of done breaking this down. I don't think there's really anything else that I saw that I would want to bring up. I'm sure I could sit here and I can cite this comic book or that comic book and pull this up and that up. Really, man, I think they're delivering on what was promised, on what was discussed, on what was rumored as well. I think if they went into this trailer and they gave us something much like they gave us last time, people would have cried foul, because there's so much out there about what's going on in this movie that I think people would have been pissed to not have more of it confirmed. And like I said, who's in it has been confirmed on IMDb for weeks. So we've known that there's been a Lizard, that there's a Sandman, and that there is an Electro and a Doc Ock. And confirming that stuff was never really anything that they couldn't do. I think they had to. I think not showing the potential there's other Spider-Men in it, or that there is a Miles Morales. These are not things that I'm confirming. Again, these are like all part of that rumor mill that just keeps spinning.
The possible
rumor. Without confirming any of that stuff, they've kept enough close to the vest that you're still excited to see what's going to transpire in this movie. But I will say this, in that scene where Spider-Man is jumping in and he's going up against all of the villains that are there at that construction site, which is, I believe it's the Statue of Liberty that's being changed into a giant Captain America memorial. But anyway, when he's jumping in, leaping into that fight, there's all those villains on the far right, and there is just one lone Spider-Man on the left. I'm just saying, from a framing aspect, like how you frame a shot in a film, it's awfully empty on that left side. You know, you'd want it to be a little bit more full, a little bit something else. Like, there's other characters there that they just cut out. I'm pretty sure that there is someone else there flying, like leaping into battle with Tom Holland's Peter Parker. I mean, that's just how comic book splash pages work.
Sure, sure.
And of course, we got to be excited for how this movie's going to end. Where's it going to leave Peter? Because he's not going to be part of the MCU by the time this is all done and over with. He only has two more appearances in the MCU.
Yeah. No, there's going to be a lot going on with this movie, and I think it's going to be, I hope, enjoyable to watch and not annoying to watch.
And the reason I don't think Venom's going to show up in this is because that Venom end credit scene was tacked on. It was filmed at the last minute before the movie's release, long before this movie was done filming. After this movie had finished filming. This movie was done filming by the time they added that Venom scene in. So I really don't think Tom Hardy is going to be in this. There might be a mention. There might be something that's discussed in it. I really do think Mysterio is coming back. And I want
okay.
I want that. I liked him as the villain.
Jake, you know, yeah, you never know. You never know. I mean, I liked him too. I'm definitely going to be, I'm looking forward to this movie. I mean, obviously I am. I just wanted to not see so much.
God, how crazy would it be if the rumored villain for Spider-Man 4 was going to be the Vulture and it was going to be played by John Malkovich? What if John Malkovich just shows up as the Vulture? Or better yet, Christopher Walken.
Oh my God. it's okay. So fucked up. Like, anything can happen.
Anything? Like, because Pandora's box is open. Interesting that the spell and like the MacGuffin of this is the box that Peter steals from. It's Pandora's box. It's all been opened, man. Everything, anything is a possibility. Nothing is off the table, essentially. And I think this just showed how crazy it is.
It is. I just don't know what to make of it. I'm just really curious to see how far they go. Now, you know, with all this, well, but also to see how far they're going to go to tease us during as an entertainment factor during the movie. And then also, what are they going to change as far as the story complex within the film
right.
going forward in this world? You know, how
right.
like,
okay.
how real is this going to be?
You yeah. know,
is it just for entertainment purposes? Like, oh, pop in here just for our own shits and giggles, you know, but
well. One of the things that might alleviate this a little is something that was discussed, but these characters are not the exact versions that we've seen previously. Obviously, you know, by the way Maxwell Dillon looks, there's you know, Goblin looks slightly different. Obviously, Alfred Molina looks slightly different. Even the arms look slightly different and stuff like that. So they are not the exact versions of these characters that existed previously. So they kind of exist in universes that were similar to the ones we saw in the Sam Raimi universe, but not exactly the same. So what I'm saying is there's not a lot of consequence for it. Because they're from different universes. The only consequence we're going to have is by the time he puts everyone back, by the time this universe loop that is closed, where will Spider-Man be? Will he be in his own Sony-verse, or will he still be in
I thank you for saying that, because that's what I've been thinking about too. I just didn't want to bring it up because that's just too much of a mind fuck, I suppose. But I don't know. Like, does it, like how does that work, you know?
I don't know.
And
how does he come back for his other MCU appearances?
And that's what
Can
I'm
you
thinking.
Explain that
it's a great cliffhanger. They had a great cliffhanger after the last movie, so this will be a great one too.
All right, like I talked about, you know, when we were talking about Disney Plus and Moon Knight being a backdoor to bringing in the Netflix stuff. Let me say this. What if at the end, what if? The Watcher is always watching. What if by the end of this is like One More Day from Spider-Man or whatever, the Spider-Man comic book written by Michael J. Straczynski, where Dan Slott eventually took over writing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the whole point is it's a fucking reset for the character. That's what happened in the comic. Him and MJ were no longer married in the comic. They weren't even dating anymore. They were just good friends. Harry Osborn was alive again and his best friend. Like, all this stuff is going on. And essentially, 20 to 30 years of Spider-Man comic book, like, what we knew as a status quo for Spider-Man was that he grew up, he was an adult, he got married,
yeah.
All this shit. It all gets wiped away. What if everything that happens in the MCU, Civil War, No Way, Homecoming, Far From Home, and then the events of this movie, it all gets wiped away and Peter just wakes up and everything is different. Aunt May doesn't know that he's Spider-Man. Him and MJ aren't dating. She doesn't know that he's Spider-Man anymore. And it's just like a complete reset for the character because that's the way it went in the comic books.
Yeah.
What if it ends like that completely? And now that'll be the Spider-Man we follow in the Sony universe, but in the MCU, we still follow the other Spider-Man that we've come to know
because
in the MCU.
Of the multiverse fuckage.
Right, exactly.
They can kind of get away with that.
They can get away with it. And Tom Holland could play both. He can
right.
He can show up in for his two more appearances in MCU movies produced by Disney, and Sony gets to end their relationship with Disney for Spider-Man solo movies. They get to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, yeah.
They told their three-story arc with the character. This is an
interesting idea.
And then now everything restarts. So that's obviously, yeah, obviously we don't know that that's going to happen. But part of me suspects that, like, that's kind of like what we're doing. We're softening the blow for ending the relationship. Because the last time they ended the relationships, fans fucking rioted. Like, we were upset. And then they quickly struck another deal and got it going again. Are they going to strike another deal? Probably not. They probably don't need to. I think with things like Venom being successful, Morbius having good early buzz from
not
trailers.
Yet.
Right. and the idea now that, like, it's very clear that Sony is interested in building their universe with around Spider-Man, it kind of seems like this is now the time where Sony's like, we're healthy enough, you know, we don't need you anymore, MCU, and we can go off and produce this how we want. You can use Tom Holland for our contractual obligations for him and stuff like that, but the version you use will be the version from the MCU. The version we're moving forward with is a completely new version that was created out of No Way Home. I mean, Jay, it's called No Way Home.
I know, and that's why I think I like your theory.
Sad.
Yeah, it's a great twist, though.
But hey, listen, you guys watch the trailer, and then you listen to us. So if there's anything that I missed talking about that you think we should have discussed, or if there's anything that I discussed that you think was completely wrong, you can reach out to us on our social medias. We put the link in the episode description. And what I would prefer, though, is if there's anything, any comments you'd like to make, leave us a voicemail. We put that hotline in there. Also, if you're enjoying the show, please make sure that you... I was going to say like and subscribe, but like we're not on YouTube, so like you can't really like and subscribe. You can, because I think the video, the stills go up on just the audio goes up on YouTube. But no, I would like you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's what helps the show grow. It's what helps us get seen. I don't think we've had any reviews in a while. And I'd like to think that that's because, like me, most of you just don't listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts anymore, because honestly, it's not great. There's better platforms out there. Find them. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. Have a great one. Cheers.
Cheers.